my Libsyn account where I post these shows is getting pretty full up, and I got a bunch of new stuff to post soon that I'm not going to have room for. Gonna have to wait for things to clear out a bit, so I probably shouldn't be recording a bunch of new shit to post, but fuck it, you know, if I have a backlog, that's fine. I can just sit for a bit before I get a chance to put it up. It's because I put up like 3 shows in 2 days. I shouldn't have done that. That gummed things up a little. But I'm just gonna do a quick little ham radio. I was walking around because it's like October 21st, I believe. It would be just deadly freezing back in my hometown by now, but here in Ontario, it's still pretty nice. But today I got tricked. I was like, hey, that looks good out there. But there's a lot of cloud cover. The sun only comes out here and again. When the sun does come out, it's really awesome. But it's not happening quite often enough today. So I might cut this little walk short. But for now, I'll just play a song or three that has been on my mind. So there's this band called Pavement. Pretty famous, a lot of people know them, but they're one of these bands I didn't really know. A little bit before my time. Like, I was listening to music a lot in the, you know, first getting into stuff in that early mid-90s period that they were in. But I was still pretty young, you know, I was in, like, junior high school, so I didn't know a lot of, you know, I pretty much only knew mainstream stuff. I didn't, you know, Pavement wasn't quite famous enough for me to know. So I kind of missed them. And I always found it a little perplexing when I would hear them here and again. I'm surprised that they're so popular, like, people really love this band, because, I don't know, they just, it's one of those things, like, I don't know, I can say this now, that, like, I don't know, every time I hear a Pavement song, it doesn't seem that great. But you ask me a year from now, they might be one of my favorite bands, you know? Like, it just takes time for music to sink in sometimes, and there's just never been the opportunity for that to happen with Pavement. But I was at the Oshaga Music Festival in Montreal, and, you know, it's an all-day-long festival, so at one point I was just out of gas. Pavement was playing on the main stage, so I went up on the hill behind the main stage in the woods. Just lay down under a tree. I had some earplugs with me, so I put those in just to keep it from being super, like, it was still so loud you can hear it. You can hear it, like, normal sounding with earplugs in. But it's just enough to keep it from kind of the pounding your head feeling, just so I could close my eyes and rest up a bit. And just listening to Pavement play, and again thinking, like, sort of, I don't really get this, you know? I like the 90s sound, I like the sort of jangly, shitty pop, but this seems a little, I don't know, soft or something. Didn't, you know, again, just didn't quite click with me. But they played this one song that did really stick out. I was like, fuck yeah, that's a cool song. Enough so that I kind of roused from my slumber and I just wrote a few words of the lyrics in my phone so I could go look it up later. Which I then put off for months and months and months. So a few days ago, I finally dug up that song. Through the magic of the internet, you know, I can just go grab the whole album, I can learn whatever I need to know about it. So this is a song called Stop Breathing. It's from their second album that came out in 1994. See, I'm an instant expert. It's the song that comes right before Cut Your Hair, that was apparently their only sort of successful song. They played it on, like, Jay Leno once or some shit. See, Wikipedia, bam! God bless the internet. But yeah, I really like this song. And it went through that nice curve where, you know, I listened to it about 10 times and just kept liking it more and more and more each time. So I finally, yeah, I went and grabbed the whole album, and I'll give that a go, see how it sinks in on me. So this is Stop Breathing by Pavement.
Got struck by the first volley of the war in the core. Never held my serve. Send him a wire, give him my best. His ammunition never rests. No one serves coffee, no one wakes up. Stop breathing, stop breathing. locked on a grid. That's what they made my hero say. Nothing gets me off so completely than when you put it down, 10 feet down in the ground. Call it response, negative home.
You know, there was this article recently in one of the free newspapers in Toronto about the top 10 best coffee shops in town, where they, went on to, of course, disparage things like Tim Hortons fast food coffee. Which, you know, sure, I guess an Americano or something is clearly better. But Tim Hortons is everywhere, and it is, I don't know, that's how I first learned to like, well, it's not true even. I guess I first really got to like coffee in Vancouver, where they don't have a lot of Tim Hortons. But at this point, I've developed a lot of positive associations with Tim Hortons. Because when I was traveling all around, like, that would always remind me of home. And for cheap throwaway coffee, I mean, it is pretty good. But a lot of it is just the iconography of it and stuff. The Tim Hortons cup. You know, I have a lot of positive associations. It makes me very glad to go get some Tim Hortons and then just drink it while I'm walking around. I was going to do that today, except it just started to rain a little bit, so I got to get the heck home. So just as I was walking, I saw this older homeless guy walking along, smoking a cigarette. And somebody had put a Tim Hortons cup on top of a mailbox or something. And as the guy was shuffling by, he reached for it, just like thinking, hey, maybe someone left their coffee here. Like, maybe this is a coffee. Maybe I can nab this coffee and have some Tim Hortons. And then he picked it up and it was obviously empty and he just put it back. And man, I felt bad for him. I could just feel like that moment of like anticipation of like, yeah, man, I'm gonna drink that coffee. It's gonna be so good. It's gonna be so warm and tasty in this cold, blustery day. Yeah, and I mean, part of that's caffeine addiction, clearly, too. But, hey, I know how it feels, man. It's my little teeny vice. Anyway, I felt bad for the guy. It's too bad he didn't get to have some coffee. So here's another Pavement song. I don't even know. Wait, is this what it's called? It's track 5? Unfair, I think? Anyway, it's the other sort of more laid-back, quieter sort of song on the album, and I also like it. So let's listen to that.
Lame driver, the forces against you.
That was the wrong name for that song. It's called Newark Wilder. Had my numbers messed up because I already started culling the album a little, just track 1 of that Pavement album I didn't really care for. So I cut it. So I fucked up the numbering in my brain. So this is a day or two after
those last recordings.
I don't remember exactly. This is going to be an episode that's just, I'll just pick away at it here and there until I can finally release it, because my Libsyn account, it's like a monthly thing. Pay X amount, get to upload a certain amount per month, but then it doesn't matter how much it gets downloaded. You don't have to worry about bandwidth and shit. So it's locked up for about a week. And I got some other shit to post. Already. A third episode of our new podcast, The Vinyl Countdown. Just me and a bunch of guys I know here in Toronto. Getting together and talking about shit. I think it's really funny. I like it. If you somehow haven't heard it, and you're listening to this, you should go to keithcourage.com and click on podcasts and listen to that shit. I could have swore I had some things I was going to say, but now they've left my brain. I can't think of what they were. Oh well, couldn't have been that important. So, here's a song by Early Mart. This is from their album Him and Her that I'm just starting to delve into. Oh, and I forget already what this song is called. It is called... Maybe this is the title track. This may be the song Him and Her. H-Y-M-N and Her. Totally good song. Oh yeah. That's what I was going to say. Is that this band had an album. Man, what was that called? Oh, it slipped my mind, but it's the one with Heaven Adores You. And A Bell and a Whistle and Sounds. It's got a shit ton of good songs. Oh, that's gonna annoy me. Anyway, I was thinking like the ultimate sort of birthday present you could give somebody if you were me would be a copy of that Early Mart album. I had a copy of the graphic novel Talisman by Carla Speed McNeil. It's part of the Finder series. And then just a cool t-shirt that they would like. Those three things together, that'd be the ultimate birthday gift trio. So this is Him and Her by Early Mart while I go bonkers trying to remember what that goddamn album is called. Oh, I cheated. I just remembered I could check on my MP3 player. Treble and Tremble would be... That's like the super perfect Early Mart album. Alright. Now on to Not That Album.
be deep in my dreams, just you and me.
Oh, here's some shit I can play. Let's play some songs from the Social Network score. So the score for this movie was done by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, kind of in the vein, I guess, of their Ghosts stuff. But I dig this more. I had a hard time getting into Ghosts. It was like a 4-EP instrumental thing. It was like a lot to digest, which I just never really did digest it. But I really like this music for the Social Network. It's all kind of instrumental. I mean, electronic, like no instruments. It's like Tangerine Dream 80s soundtrack or something. 80s plus the 90s of Trent Reznor put together equals 2000s. 2010, I don't know. Anyway. Yes, I was one of those people that even though I like David Fincher a lot, I was like, man, I don't know. Facebook movie? What? I couldn't really get excited about it. It was actually the music that kind of got me into it. I heard an interview on a Slash Film with Trent Reznor. And it was like, yeah, I should go see that movie. I don't know. He made it sound cool. And it was all right. Given the ludicrous subject matter, yeah, it turned out pretty well. It reminded me a lot of Pirates of Silicon Valley. Except I like pirates more. But yeah, anyway, yeah, critics really jizzed their pants over the Social Network. A little too much, I'd say. When someone says Scott Pilgrim was their favorite movie of the year until Social Network comes out, I think that was Adam from the Slash Film cast. It's like, okay, calm the fuck down, buddy. Social Network was pretty entertaining, but better than Scott Pilgrim? Fuck off. But yeah, there's two tracks in particular that really stuck with me from the soundtrack. There's one called In Motion and Intriguing Possibilities. Both really cool little instrumentals from the score to the Social Network. So let's listen to those. There's this band called Guar. You've probably heard of them. They're this awesome metal band that dress up in crazy costumes, put on a big show, fake blood, all kinds of awesome shit. And I missed them like three separate times in Vancouver. Every time it was like, oh, I should go to Guar, but just, you know, gotta work, too much money, whatever, just various reasons. And I just missed them again and again and again. And I mean, this band's been going for like 20 years, but they can't go forever, you know? It's like, it's gonna be like Mr. T on The Simpsons, where Homer just misses him at the mall. Like, I really should go. So again, they're playing here in Toronto, but it's like $40, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I am really tight on money this month. I got like nothing. Made a few bad calls of just wasting money on stuff. I don't know, I mean, stuff that was fun, but I've overextended myself. But then this dude Craig, who's also on the Vinyl Countdown, was like, I'll go to Guar with you. So I was like, all right, fuck it, let's do it. So I'm walking there. It started to rain right before, and I've had this problem for a little while. There's a split in one of my shoes, and it turns out in both of my shoes now. It's worse on the right shoe, but both of them. Anytime it's wet outside and raining, it's like I don't even have shoes on. They're just no good. My feet just get soaked. But I honestly I don't have enough money. I barely got enough money to eat to make sure I can still cover rent at the end of the month. Not enough money to buy new shoes. However, with this $40 that I spent to go to Guar, that could have been shoe money. I could have bought some new shoes. So I guess here's my choice, you know? Yeah, I'm walking through the fucking rain and my feet are all wet. Ugh. But I'm sure I won't remember these wet feet, you know? By tomorrow, I'll probably forget this shit. Weeks and weeks and years and months, whatever. I'll certainly forget. Whereas, I'm always gonna remember that I finally got to see Guar. So that's the thing, I just gotta remember. look at the upside. It totally is worth it. It's worth it to see Guar. I'll get shoes eventually. Theoretically next month. So let's listen to a Guar song. This is the first song off their second album, and it probably is still my favorite Guar song. It's called Salamanizer, and it's fucking awesome. We'll be right back. All right, I just got out of Guar. So, finally seen Guar after all those years. 25 motherfucking years, man, those guys have been doing that. That is insane. Oh, and I'm definitely getting old, dude. Thank God I didn't wait till I'm much older to finally see Guar. Because I got crushed in the pit, nailed to the stage. And I got crushed in the pit pretty fucking fast. I like pulled a muscle on one of my legs, and it was like in like Fallout when you step on a landmine, and one of your legs is just boom, all fucked up. That's what it felt like. And I got the blood sprayed all over me. There was a lot more than I expected. Just constantly spraying fucking blood and shit and jizz and piss and stuff all over people. And you could tell kind of like who was a pussy at the end. Because I'm really only half covered in blood. Still a lot of white left on my shirt. I thought it was a lot until I saw some other people that are just boom, drenched. And there's like there's a balcony here. And there were some people up in the balcony just sitting down, just legs crossed, enjoying the Guar show. Which, I mean, it does make sense. Half of the fucking entertainment would just be seeing the whole spectacle, you know, seeing the whole stage and all the fucking people and shit. But it's still very weird. Although, I don't know, if I went to see Guar again, maybe I'd be one of those people. But for the first time, it's like, fuck, dude, I gotta be down in there. So they played that song, Salaminizer. And then their, like, final encore was Sick of You. And it brings me way fucking back to, I don't even know how old I was, like 10 or 11 or something. My cousin Dan played me that song. And that is the song that everybody knows and everyone fucking chants along to. And it's not like Guar ever had a big, like, hit, really. I don't know why, just that one song. It's like maybe everybody's cousin, you know, played in that song. It's just like thousands and thousands of little stories of just this organic process of everyone fucking hearing Sick of You by Guar. And it's like, man, after all these years, it's just like, come on back. I'm in the fucking crowd seeing that shit. It's fucking sweet. So let's listen to Sick of You by Guar. Fucking classic.
What of a kind? What are you doing here between like... Yeah! Okay. How badly do you want me to come in your face? I can't hear you. I can hear you, but I'm going to say it anyway. I can't hear you. Oh, there we go. Oh. Didn't even wait for the song to start. Whoa, yeah. Here's a special song. You might actually recognize this one. That makes you one up on me. Maybe two or three, I don't know. Frankly, I'm retarded.
They think you never take a bath. Your nose is blood, you cross your butt, you are. autobiography. I got Ernest Borgnine to write for me. Aren't you now? So sick of you. Things you say, things you do. Don't you know? I'm so sick of you. Things you say, I'm things you dance. And don't you know? I'm so sick of you. The things you say, and all the things you dance. And don't you know? I'm so sick of you. The things you say, and all the things you dance. Don't you know?
Now the opening bands, there was the Casualties. I've seen them before at the Warped Tour. They're like an old school punk band. The Mohawks and the Studded Leather and shit, and they're pretty cool. I like them. And then before them were just a couple of like death metal bands. And that must be weird to be like a, you know, legitimate, serious band or whatever opening for Gwar. Because, you know, there were quite a few punkers there to see the Casualties, but those other two bands, man, you know, no one was there to see them. And everyone is there for the spectacle of Gwar, or to see the Casualties, and then hang out for the spectacle of Gwar as a bonus. Must be weird, but it's the thing is, like, death metal, what a weird fucking thing, because it is awesome in little doses. Like, eventually I just started drifting off. Death metal is not exactly not a lot of dynamic range there, but for at least the first 10 or 15 minutes, like, it did remind me of mostly Mr. Bungle. That was Mike Patton's first band, the singer from Faith No More, and they started off as a total death metal band, and then they branched off into some other stuff. And their second album, Disco Volante, for years was my favorite album. I mean, if you had to make me pick at gunpoint, it probably still is, I guess. It's a fucking really awesome album. And, like, here's this song called Merry Go Bye Bye. It's the last song on the album. Starts off, it's like a cool surf tune, then it breaks into death metal for no apparent fucking reason. And it's awesome, and then it breaks back out into just a really smooth, nice groove to bring the album to a close. And that's the way that death metal rules, man. Like, start, stop, pieces, you know? Throw it into a mix, and then it's like fucking bah, powerful. All by itself, though, man, it's hard to take seriously. I definitely prefer punk to metal. I don't know, like, the Casualties, just because it's faster. So much easier for me to get into. But here's Merry Go Bye Bye by Mr. Bungle. Sweet fucking tune.
The shiny searchlights in the sky. There's a new god in the sky. They said the map is not the terrier work. And then I broke my telescope. But that's the nature of a game. And you have to play.
Back the shade.
Alright, it is October 31st, Halloween day. My roommate has some dude she knows from the States supposed to be coming to visit next Saturday. And it's Sunday now, so next week. But, you know, she works during the week, which thank fucking Christ. Get that out of the fucking house to myself a little bit. So she's all like, you know, I'm gonna be cleaning up the house tomorrow. She has these grand plans of, like, fucking rearranging the whole floor plan, of moving stuff around and putting my bed on the other side of the room. So I'm like, you want some help with that? Because it's fucking moving furniture. She's always like, nah, I can do it on my own. I just want, you know, me out of the way so she can fucking play her terrible fucking shitty music. And it's just, it's frustrating. I've known people like this before where it's, somehow it's my fault all the time that whatever crap she needs to get done in her life never gets done. Even though, man, like, there's this filter. This guy came to change the filters in our heating ducts. And for some reason, if the guy was just going to do it, she's like, nah, just leave him. I know how to do it. I'll do it myself. Finally, after months, I might have said this already. I don't know. But I replaced the one in the living room myself because it's like, shit, dude, like, I just left it for her because she knows how to do it. I mean, it turns out it wasn't that tricky, but it's like, it became obvious that if I didn't do it, she was never going to do it. And here we are deep in the fall. This was in the middle of the summer. The other one is still just sitting there waiting for her to replace it in her bedroom because, you know, I'm not going to go into her bedroom. Wow, remarkable. I'll describe the scene in a moment, but I'm super, super alone and some people just wandered behind me. What are the chances? You can never be alone in this topsy-turvy world. That's a key thing to say. Woe is me. My brain isn't even working, man, I feel like. So anyway, but it's like, I've been trying to get up earlier anyway, actually, you know, soak in some sunlight. So I was like, okay, I'll try my best. And it's like, oh, just fighting. It's so hard to go to bed. But I probably fell asleep at about 3 in the morning. And then I woke up early for me, like 10:30. Yesterday, I didn't wake up till 2 in the afternoon. Got my shit together, get out of the house, you know, let her do whatever. But if I come home and anything is even remotely different or cleaned, I'll be fucking shocked. Certainly don't expect to see furniture moved all around. Like, I don't know. Why do people give themselves these huge tasks and then, who fucking cares? Ah, I'm sick of talking about this. I'm just, blah. I need to have a male roommate again. That's my recommendation. Don't have a female roommate. It's ridiculous. You get all the fucking fun of pointless bickering about stupid fucking shit that doesn't matter without the bonuses of actually, like, dating somebody. It's just lose-lose, man. I've never lived with a guy who gave a fuck about things. Just, you know, just fucking relax, you know? Can't you have fun in life? Is that so hard to do? I don't know, I've been feeling that itch to, like, move. Get on a bus and go somewhere. But I don't want to go back to New Brunswick. Certainly not back to the States, so where is there to go in Canada? I guess maybe back to Vancouver, but no, I don't know. There's the prairies, but I don't really want to live there. I guess there's really nowhere to go. No reason not to stay in Toronto. So anyway, I decided to head back to the beaches. I haven't been here since the summer. It's quite a long walk, but it's awesome in the summer. Obviously, this is the wrong time of year to come to the beaches, but, you know, I gotta get out of the house for the day, so fuck it, man. Let's go. And on the way, I saw on Twitter, actually, somebody mentioned in Toronto that it was snowing. So as I left, it was fine. You know, it's a little cold, but I got layers. I'm all right. It's really not so bad. by Canadian standards, the weather here is pretty fucking good. And about three quarters of the way here, there's a Tim Hortons and a Wendy's and shit down on Lakeshore. And luckily, it started like raining a little, and then the rain would kind of turn into snow back and forth. And then luckily, I got to the Tim Hortons and ducked in there just as it became crazy for like 10 minutes. Just tons of fucked up snow. And then it just disappeared and melted away. And walked the rest of the way, so now it's very nice weather. A little overcast, but nice. But that was fucking lucky timing. So anyway, I'm at this park now down by the water, and it's really cool because where I live is like the downtown core, so when you go down to the lake, it's like a little inlet thing, you know? You see, you can't just see out into the infinite horizon. But then you get beyond that on either end, and yeah, this lake might as well be the ocean. It's fucking huge. I was actually looking at a map last podcast when I ended up out at Humber Bay. When you see it on a map, it's pretty fucking far, and then you just go a little further and you're at Mississauga, and then you're at the next place, and you can just circle all the way around the lake, and next thing you know, you're at Niagara Falls. It'd be fucking crazy. Imagine walking that, just walking around the lake. It'd be awesome. I think that'd be doable, particularly if I had some money. I mean, it seems like it's populated pretty much the whole way. You know, stay in hostels or something? That'd be weird. I wonder how long that would take. It'd be fucking cool. Yeah, it would be fucked, man. Walk all the way to Niagara Falls and take like a bus back. Yeah, so I'm sitting down on these rocks. Just sort of, you know, looking out at the horizon. And between my shitty shoes and these kind of algae-covered rocks, man, I came seriously within an inch of falling in, like, 3 foot high water. It would have been so cold. Can you fucking imagine that? Like, right now, I would just be soaked. I'd be covered in water. Oh, my God, it's such a nightmare. I was so close. Just, oh, man, talk about getting your heart pumping. Like, fuck. That would have been a disaster. I need to be more careful. Luckily, I got some transit passes. I mean, I guess I slogged my way up to Queen Street, I guess, would be where the closest bus is, and bus on back over. Oh, fuck. Fuck, that'd be so cold. Like, I'm just thinking about it. Like, oh, my God. Thank Christ that didn't happen. So I guess all I have to say. So on my way here, I've been listening to, I downloaded a bunch of Mr. Bungle live shows. Man, Mr. Bungle, they were not too worried about, you know, giving the people what they want. They had some fucking ridiculous live shows where they just play all kinds of weird, fucked up shit. Like a 12-minute version of Everyone I Went to High School With Is Dead. They're like crazy heavy metal song. Silly. So anyway, I don't know what I'm going to play. Something from one of these live things. I'll just grab some live Mr. Bungle, something that stood out to me a little bit. Toss that in here. Thank you.
trees will cut. I get up in the early morning. You're not a geek. New York faggot. Knock so hard. My girlfriend's pumping tastes like cottage cheese. But I don't like cottage cheese. I want my mama's pussy to be bacterial. It's not like cottage cheese.
All right, we resume several hours later. We're well into the afternoon now. I'm at the beaches. Man, this is a nice neighborhood. I'm on Queen Street East. Because immediately east of where I live, you know, you cross the Gardiner, and it kind of sucks. I'm not a fan of that part of town where Degrassi Street is. But out here, holy shit. This would be a sweet place to live. So I walk down along the beaches and then up around onto Queen. And even though, oh, I just passed a movie theater that's playing, I guess it's like a second run. They're playing Toy Story. Four shows today. Toy Story for the matinee. Inception at 4. I can't remember what was the 7 o'clock show. But then the late night show is Dead Alive. Or Brain Dead. In the original New Zealand title. That's Peter Jackson's old movie. That was fucking sweet. Like where he... if you've never seen it, it was so weird when I heard that he was the guy doing Lord of the Rings, because it's, his old movies are ridiculous. Like, it's basically a zombie movie, and there's a part where there's a church full of zombies, so dude takes a lawnmower and just holds it so the blade is in front of him and just charges in and just destroys everyone. And then he's trying to escape, but he can't because there's too much gore on the floor. He can't get his traction. It's like a cartoon. So he has to stand on organs, like hearts and livers and stuff, to hop out of the room. It's fucking awesome. Anyway, I don't know, shit. See, if I wasn't so fucking poor, I guess it's probably because it's Halloween today, they're playing that, but I've never seen it on a big screen. But yeah, I really am out of money. Out of money. $15 in my bank account, which I'm gonna have to spend to buy some fucking milk and potatoes. I had $12. I thought I only had $10 in my wallet, but there was a toonie in there. So I walked past a yard sale and like, oh, I can't resist those. I was wondering, do you think our generation's even going to give a fuck about yard sales? Is that a thing we're going to do? I mean, I used to love when I was a kid going to yard sales with my mom and stuff. Way back in the mid-80s. I'm just like imagining all that stuff on those tables. All those artifacts of the past. Wish I could time warp back to a fucking... yard sale of my youth. But it seems like such a thing just old people do. But I mean, I guess we're all going to become old people pretty soon. Maybe it'll keep up. But I don't know, in this eBay world, or just super disposable world, no one keeps their shit. Just the notion of selling your old stuff seems so quaint. Anyway, the guy said, not only is it a yard sale, but it's like for it was a bigish one. And it was to help some shelter. Animal shelter or something. So it's like, oh, I really can't spend money, but let me just see what he's got. And I was looking through CDs. I noticed this when I was in, I was at this like thrift store in Salvation Army or something in Astoria, Queens. And they had all these cool CDs. And I'm just thinking like, oh, back in the day I would have died. I'd be like, fuck yeah. Look at all these awesome CDs for like a dollar each. And not only is this a really nice stretch of Queen Street, but the lake is right there. Anytime you walk by a side street, you just look down and there it is. This is fucking... this is quite a wonderful little fucking neighborhood. Yeah, but of course I didn't buy any of those CDs in Queens, because what use do I have for a CD, you know? It's so pointless. I can just download shit. I don't even want the CD, you know? As soon as I rip the music off it, I'm never going to touch it again. But this thing, I was looking through some of these CDs and there's, again, like stuff that I would have grabbed. Things that are just like, oh, that's cool. But then one in particular was Gord Downie's first solo album, Coke Machine Glow. He's the guy from The Tragically Hip. And I remember there's a line in It might be the first Scott Pilgrim volume. One of the Scott Pilgrims were there just sitting around their kitchen table listening to his CD and just like, man, Gord Downie's a totally sweet genius. So it always, even though I already knew that, and that it got like the Tragically Hip a lot, I've never heard his solo thing, but that always put it in my head a little bit, like I should check that out. But I probably would never get around to downloading it. I mean, I've jumped on some Tragically Hip torrents here and again, but I've never seen his solo album. I think there's two of them now in the mix. So it's right here. I happen to have, if I only had my 10, I was like, I don't know if they're gonna make change and shit. Plus it's like a charitable thing. See, that's maybe why I ran out of money. I would have just grabbed some CDs and just given the guy the 10 and been like, keep it. But since I had the toonie, I was like, cool, all right, I'm gonna get this one CD. Just for the, I don't know, the fun of yard sales and helping out some animal shelter and just the this nice day in general. It's just fun to buy something from a yard sale. So luckily, I was like, you'll take $2 for a CD? And he's like, that's what the cost. So now I got Gord Downie's solo album. I suppose I should play something from that. I don't know, I'll pick whatever the most interesting song title is. And just toss it in. Anyway, also I've been looking for somewhere to pee for over an hour. All the bathrooms down by the beach are all closed for the season. So I did also hop in a coffee shop. Just had to grab a coffee and then pee, and it was a really nice little coffee shop. It's like, oh, I'd like to work here. This would be a fun little place to work. But it's too far. I mean, I'd have to take the bus every day, because it'd take me over an hour to walk here and then an hour to walk back. I'm not close enough. And transit cost in this city is out of control. The fucking monthly pass would cost far too much of my paycheck just for that. But it did remind me a bit of the coffee shop in Vancouver and just how I didn't hate working there. And that was a thought that I've had lately. I moved to Vancouver in, if I remember right, it was 2005? Was it 2004? It must have been 2005. I don't know. Anyway, when I think about, I mean, moving to Vancouver was the heavy hitter. That was the big one. But then going to New York, now coming to Toronto. All this stuff, when I compare it next to my old self, who just hung around my hometown and didn't do jack shit, you know? It's very impressive. I'm still very proud of myself. How I've grown into, if not the world, then North America. And it only took, like, 5 years. Like, it seems like I've done a lot in this 5 years. I'm pretty happy with it. It's a lot of sort of scrambling, not a lot of concrete building of roots or anything specific, you know. But, you know, I don't know that this particular pattern can keep up. How many more places can I move before I'm just avoiding making something of myself, of my life? But initially it was very important, and I'm very glad I did it. And it's been a pretty fucking good 5 years. Alright, let me get this CD out and just see what the most interesting song title is, and then I'll play that song. Track number 2, man, Vancouver Divorce. That's gotta be the winner.
It's hard, just fucking fighter or lover. Sitting here at the Horn, so you know this is important. If not here, then where? If not now, then when? When a feather's an immovable force, when stampede's an obstacle course, when ancient trainers hit old transient.
Oh man, it's like 6 o'clock now, so I've been walking around for damn near 7 hours. I'm back at the same Tim Hortons Wendy's combo where I avoided the snowstorm this morning. Hasn't been anything. Well, actually, no, I guess about 2 hours ago, I was sitting down just reading through one of the free newspapers, sitting on a curb. And it was, you know, weird weather. It was cold because it was windy, but I was also in sunlight, and that helps a lot. But then these little flakes of snow, a few kind of just came down, and I was like, oh, shit, is this going to happen again? But it didn't. Weird fucking day anyway. Oh, well. I feel better now that I'm out walking around, but basically... So I drank, I mean, I woke up tired as fuck. Drank quite a lot of coffee, two big-ass coffees today. So they're finally starting to wear off, so that's a bad feeling. And then because I'm so poor, I stopped in this Wendy's and got just a chili, because it's like $2.50 and it's a lot of food. You can get crackers and shit with it. So that puts my pocket money down to about $4.50 left, I think. And my $14.90 in the bank. And I was just lying and looking at the people working at the Wendy's. The manager guy was really old, you know, like 50-some. And God, there's nothing worse than working at a Wendy's. Like, holy fuck, that must be the worst. Now, I've been thinking a lot about my past lately, even more so than usual, because my ex-girlfriend Erica is coming to visit next week. I might have to borrow some money from Brad. We're just going to... have breakfast, but I don't have any money. And you know, that whole thing It was definitely the most stable feeling time of my life, where I felt like I actually had some kind of house, you know, building towards something, however briefly. You know, a sense of wanting to turn it to be a bad idea. I got a job as a skip tracer, which I hated, and it only lasted a month. That, when we broke up 2 weeks into that, you know, a lot of reasons, but part of it didn't help that I was at this job that I hated. This made me fucking miserable. But I only went there because, you know, I had a reason to want to try to improve my station in life. Somebody who I wanted to be proud of me. A whole different side of life that would be, you know, just having somebody more dedicated to building a home. So instead, here I am, sitting at the fucking Wendy's with my goddamn chili, because what I was going to do is grab a Mr. Noodle packet, put it in my coat pocket, and then, seems gross when you're full, but once you get hungry, it's like, yeah, I could pick away at that, just eat it, just crunch it up, little by little as I walked around, because I was like, once I hit that point where I'm just like, where I'm hungry, I'm like a hummingbird, like a trash compactor in my stomach, like I just, like I need to eat food or I'll just fucking lose it and die. So I'm sitting there so poor, and you know, I've been walking around for like 7 fucking hours. The goddamn sun is going down now. I guess it's time to go home, but again, I don't know what my damn roommate's doing with moving around the house, but she insists she can never do house stuff while I'm there, only when I'm gone, and for all I know, she hasn't done a goddamn thing. I don't know, but whether she has or not, like, it's not like my homecoming's gonna be welcome, you know? She wants her house to herself. Well, too fucking bad. You're the one who asked for a roommate, you know? I could have moved somewhere else. I didn't need the place that fucking bad, particularly since I sank so much fucking money into that place. Like, there's like an extra $1,000 I'm never getting back. Hey, you want to pay $1,000 so you can feel uncomfortable and unwelcome in your own fucking house all the time? Like, at this point, Jesus, I don't know. You know, it's not my fault that I don't have a bedroom. It's your fault for fucking up your life and needing a stupid fucking roommate. I didn't come up with this idea, you know? If I never saw your stupid ad in Craigslist, I would have just moved somewhere else. It's a wide fucking world. I had a lot of money at the time to fuck around with. I'm fucking... caffeine's running out. Ludicrously poor, hungry, you know, eating my Wendy's, that gross smell of a Wendy's, and just that awful environment. So everybody's such a fucking lowbrow idiot, fucking fast food places. And I was listening to Tell 'Em Steve Dave, that's Brian Johnson and Walt Flanagan's podcast. It's like Kevin Smith's friends. I didn't listen to it initially. I caught on a little late, and then I've caught up to all the episodes. It's really good. I really like their show. It's better when it's just them. When they were on Smodcast, you know, Kevin Smith kind of steamrolled them. He does that with everybody. He steamrolls Jay Muse. He steamrolls Malcolm. It's weird, but in a lot of ways, people are better off without him. Like, it just turns into the Kevin Smith show. As much as I love Kevin, I mean, I don't need 5 different Smodcasts, you know? So their show is really good. But anyway, they were talking about Brett Favre and how he's like 41 and, you know, about being old. He's a football player. Apparently, I don't know, fucking sports. Fuck you, by the way. Anyone who likes sports, fuck off. Sports is so fucking stupid. It's so fucking dumb. So stupid. I just cannot fucking, I'm so sick of people and their sports. It's the dumbest fucking thing. Just stop it. You stupid monkeys. Fucking sports. Blah. Awful. Hey, that reminds me. I was reading a thing about Rageahol. Rageaholics. How when you get mad, you know, and it heightens your... tenses you up, gets adrenaline pumping. It's like a natural high, you know, kind of like jogging or whatever. People get addicted to it. It's like that notion of letting your anger out so that you'll feel better or be calmer. Not necessarily true. It's not that simple. you can get addicted to letting your anger out. Which I think, you know, maybe that's one reason I like doing this show. What else can I just yell about shit? When else would I have cause to? It does feel kind of good. But at least it's just into a microphone to no one. Like, I have a feeling that's what's going on in the States. New York specifically. It's really out of control how much fucking friction there is sometimes. And just people just waiting to pounce. Just looking for an excuse to fucking yell at somebody. Because they want to. So they're not trying to make things better. I think that clears up a lot about people's behavior in the Big Apple. Like, what was that? Sports? I don't know. Who fucking gives a shit? Anyway, about being old, and it made me think, yeah, like, who cares about you when you're old at all? Normally it's not that hard to put out of my head, but I'm just thinking, whatever dopey path I seem to be going down, not like it's profitable now, but the idea of being, like, I don't know, internet guy, makes fancy podcasts. I don't know, everything's going to be on the internet. If I was going to make movies, short films and stuff, it's all going to go on the internet. How do you fucking stand out at all? If you're old, you know? How can anybody give a shit about what some 50-year-old guy is doing on the internet? I don't know. And it's just like, and then it's just... Then, like, what kind of shitty, dumb job would I have? I guess it helps that I can't really see a better alternative, you know? Because I guess the alternative would have been go to school, get some kind of degree, or start some kind of business. But I don't want to do any of that shit either. I don't know what I want to do. I have no idea, but I don't know. It all just kind of hit me. I'm sitting here, poor, tired, rudderless, futureless. I don't know. I don't want to be too dramatic about it, but I felt real shitty. Like, man, it hit me hard. Just like, boom, that really just heavy depression feeling that I haven't felt in quite some time. Probably since my house burned down. And I don't know, it only lasted about 10 minutes, but it's just like, it's a distinct difference. Like, I'm just sitting there, just feeling bad. Glum look on my face, staring out the fucking window, and like, just not giving a fuck if people are looking at me or wondering why I look so out of it. Probably no one noticed or gave a shit. I mean, I'm in Wendy's. Who doesn't fucking look like that in Wendy's? And then I got outside and, you know, got walking again, got some fresh air. Instantly feel a lot better. It's a line from Mad Men about Betty Draper being all like, wah-wah about her marriage, and her babysitter lady. So it's some simple thing just about, like, hey, you know, splash some water on your face, go for a walk outside, and you'll see that everything is pretty much not so fucking bad. Man, that's a show. I mean, I dig that show, but Jesus, it moves slow. I just finished season 2, and Peggy's whole fucking story arc for season 2 is she got a new office and a haircut. It's like, really? There's a little more to it than that, but not a fucking hell of a lot more. You know that theme music for Mad Men? I thought it was a pretty cool little ditty, and but I could tell it wasn't of the period because there's a digital stutter at the end of it in the strings. I was like, that's clearly new. And then it turns out it's an instrumental for an AC Alone song. He's this underground hip-hop guy that I knew from college radio way back, like late 90s when I first heard of Saul Williams, 97 or so. This guy, AC Alone, would also get played. And I don't really like the song that he raps over the Mad Men instrumentally. It's too bad. I was going to throw it in a show because it's an interesting curiosity, but I don't think it's any good. So let's play one of his old songs that I like. My two favorites are The Guidelines and The Greatest Show on Earth. I don't know, yeah, let's do Greatest Show on Earth. That's a good song, assuming I've still got it kicking around somewhere. I don't know how this guy fucking remembers all of his words. There's a lot of goddamn lyrics in this song. Album after album. It must be tough. That's probably enough. I can probably finally wrap up this show, since it's been going on for days and days and days. Wow, that's very pretty. I'm walking on Lakeshore Boulevard East and Logan Avenue. I just passed. I just turned a corner and I can see downtown again. There's the CN Tower. God damn, that thing is fucking high. And the sun is just setting. The clouds have more or less cleared up, but there's clouds behind it. So there's these orange clouds right behind the CN Tower, the silhouette of the tower. It's pretty fucking beautiful. I do like the view when I leave my apartment building. It's right behind the St. Lawrence Market, just a block behind. So when I leave my house, I can see all the bank buildings, particularly the Scotiabank one and the TD. And they always look so beautiful at night. It's just great to just walk out of my house and turn my head to the left and boom, it's just like always makes me feel good. And then walking down Front Street. If you walk down Front toward Yonge, as you pass the Flatiron Building, it's at nighttime it looks amazing because you've got the Flatiron Building in the foreground and then behind it are all the office buildings of downtown. But there's such a wide expanse, just open air, between the Flatiron Building and then those buildings downtown. It just looks like 3D. It's hard to explain, but it looks more 3D than real life normally looks. I don't know, it's just excellent looking. Whew. It's the greatest show on earth by AC Alone.
I'll sell to you for 6,000 then.
6,000?
6,000.
Alright, nigga, you got it. Here you go.
It's right over there, man. Right over to the left.
In that red and white tent.
Where all the people sat.
Alright, man, I'll be up in there.
Stay up.
Okay, listen up, gentlemen. Veterans, vitamins, specimen, letterman, tell a friend. Peddling, amphetamine, medicine, meddling, hematology, skeleton, children, belatin, reverend. See no evil since Solomon, origin, motherland. Must I begin Babylon? Amphibian, oblivion, I'm living a life of 10 men. Following a mannequin, it leads you straight into a brick wall. You shall fall like Berlin. You believe in oppression, lesson, learning, zen. Gathering, final action. Wonder if this endeavor can truly never be comprehended. I blend so sick. Went down to a mic and a pen. Listen, it's the greatest show on earth.
The audience is manipulated by the benevolent kind. Mouth, poison, keen, justify, recollect, sunken, boisterous, swallow. Devoted, dominate, vanity, vanguard, assimilation, accusation, aggression, stolen life, picture, convexity, contrast, prepare, aware, humanize, imitate, overpower, initiate, dispel, dispel, transgressor, transcend, transmission, lurking, average, secluded, passe, mundane, fleece, dim, obscure, evangelistic, prophet, evoke, revoke, dominion, legend, load, flamboyant, judgmental, swift, vex, sex, decadence, and solitude. Maybe I should warn you before a storm on you smoke. Disarm you and reform you. Don't want to harm you or alarm you. But nobody's leaving here today. Stop breathing and choke. Ever since I was a child teasing and able to speak, I spoke heathen. Under this tent's the greatest show ever seen. Never heard from the evergreen to the Neverland Ranch. You never dreamed, but you slept. And I witnessed it. It's over your head, it's way out of your grasp now. You're out of weed, out of cash, out of gas, and you're out of style. Out of place, and you're out of line, and you're out of touch, and you're out of time, and you're out of turn, out of tune, and you're out of wind. And you're one out of ten who must be out of their goddamn mind. I'm out of reach, I'm out of your element, out of the ordinary, out of sight, I'm an outsider. It's out of my hands, I'm out of this world on the mic, and this is the greatest show on earth. AC Alone sends his wishes to all. A frightful night out on the Caribbean circus, under the stars, electric, traveling, bizarre, packed with laughter. How far do you have to go to see the half-man amphibian show, Mars? Sarcasm at its best, but of course the exhibit's dropping right into your neighborhood parking lot structure. Colorful gleaming, beaming, neon Ferris wheel. The kid and all of us, fool, you want a ticket? What is magic? A woman being sawed in half and lips talk about it? You'll see her spine gyrate. We'll have a gypsy read your palm and tell your fate. We'll have the great Bandini's opening act, a spoon bender. He'll do his thing, he shook his coat and he dropped the fork. Ta-da! It's a concrete fork. Of course it is, of course it is. The lampposts are the oak trees. The street tops are the streams. The natives all stay inside their huts into that bright sunbeams. Then slowly they crept out to get some air. Some argued, some screamed, some beamed, some slept. Some retached, some wept, some hobbled, some betrayed. Some planted, some begged, some potted. Others laughed, some panicked, some breathed. Some movement by the trees, some by there. Some magical, logical, something in the loom. Some whom shall I say, someone
is watching every step you take. Some doom is waiting for you in the shed. Some thought, some book, some other's point of view. Some bled, some bland, some music by the band. Some dance, some stood, some drunk, some plaid. Some plant, some growth, some joint, some exotic. Some got it in the end and they bought the form. Some dared, some apple, some charm, some scared. Some hands around your neck, some place, some scalpel. Some trouble, some follow from beginning to end. But never could understand the greatest show on earth.
Last night I didn't sleep very well, because I never sleep very well. Woke up kind of tired, but I had to get out of the house because my damn roommate's all, I want to clean today. But it's not a bad thing that I got out of there. I was going to go to the library, do some editing, but I took a sort of a weird turn, and I ended up going down, it's called Cherry Road, or Cherry Street, Cherry something, through this kind of shipyard area of Toronto. Great big ships, just huge ships, and you know, it's kind of industrial and not very pleasant, but I'm like, where is this going? Like, surely I gotta get to the water eventually, and I just kept walking and walking and walking. And eventually I got to Cherry Beach. That's, doesn't seem like the greatest beach in the world, but it's, no one was around, so that's cool. It's really warm out too. I mean, it's like November 3rd, I think, today. And I kept stripping down until now I'm in a t-shirt, because it's so warm out. Like, this is an awesome thing about Ontario. It would never be like this in New Brunswick. Just a beautiful sunny day. It's about noon now. Because from Cherry Beach, I just kept walking east along the water, and then I had to, it's hard to walk along the lake shore. Because there's always, you run into old factories and boat clubs and crap that are all fenced off that you gotta walk around. So I walked around up onto this bike path and then through these little woods and next to some kind of rendering plant with this enormous silo, and it's just so fucking huge, and it's just weird to think about the people who built that and that whole earlier society where that was really just the nuts and bolts of farming were really important. And all the people that came before me and all the people that got us to where we are now. I was also thinking about how it amazes me how people complain about the human race. Like, oh man, we're wrecking everything, we shouldn't be on the earth, blah, blah, blah. I really think that lacks perspective because, I mean, when you think of the billions and billions of years that the universe has been around, even just the Earth, all the animals that have come and gone, what is it, like 99% of every animal that's ever gone extinct was before we got here? Compared to all that, I mean, we've been around such a small time. I think our environmental impact is highly overestimated. I mean, really, the amount that we're changing things is, in the grand scheme, not that much. And isn't that worth it for this? Like, for this potential to see what's gonna happen? I mean, we're definitely a standout, you know? It's clear that humankind is much different than anything else that's been on this earth. All this stuff that we've built, all the progress we've made, I mean, it's so worth it, you know? I mean, chances are we're eventually gonna flare out anyway, so what's the harm, man? Stop fucking worrying about it. Go back to some boring ass earth with nothing in particular going on for another zillion years. But yeah, just walking this nice day through these woods past this big silo. It just reminded me of a Tragically Hip song for some reason. Like, it felt like I was inside one. I think they're from Kingston, Ontario. Just feels like Ontario, you know? It does feel like I'm in a different province. This is definitely a different feeling than New Brunswick. Or British Columbia. Such a nice day. Like, my plan was just to circle around and head to the library. At this point, I've circled pretty fucking far. I wonder, I might even be, I don't know if I'm that far from the beaches I was at a few days ago when I recorded, whenever that was, Halloween. But yeah, barely passed a soul, just a few cycles. It's a little tricky to get down here, but this place is pretty nice. Anyway, my old girlfriend, Erica, from Vancouver, is gonna come visit me in a couple of days. So it's, you know, it's on my mind. Songs make me, every song makes me think about that. Every song that's even remotely about a relationship. It's gonna be kinda odd, cause she's married and stuff now, but I'm gonna be glad to see her again. But it is one of those cases where, I don't regret that we broke up, but I wish I could somehow do all the things that I did afterward and yet also have not had that happen. You know, I wish I could have both things somehow. Anyway. I'm not going to play a Tragically Hip song. Instead, I'm going to play a song by Kupek, Brian Lee O'Malley, the guy that did Scott Pilgrim. I really think his music is underrated. I think just because he's more famous for cartooning, people don't give his music as much of a chance, but he has some really good stuff. It just keeps growing on me more and more. This one was an especially slow burn. It took quite a long time for this one to stand out, but now that it has, I really like this song. It's just got some clever fucking lyrics, man. Fucking, he has some of the best, just the coolest lyrics. So yeah, I'm sitting down by the water, not a fucking soul around. I don't even quite know where I am. I'm gonna have to look up some shit on a map when I get home. So this is The Way We Were by Kupek.
You can have him, cause he is poison. And yes, I loved you, but that was a long time ago. And I've been waiting for my moment, always lighting all my ducks up in a row. See, I've been hurt too, and I will hurt again. And yes, I loved you, but you put me in my place. And now you're smiling, or at least there's something for me to wipe off your beautiful face. See, my pain is extra complicated. It's not just some general malaise. And my dreams have been obliterated in 100 different ways.
General
those carefree, bittersweet, long ago wonderful days. Oh, for the calm before, oh, for the eye of the storm, oh, for the way we were. Oh, for the calm before, oh, for the eye of the storm, oh, for the way we were. Oh, for the calm before, oh, for the eye of the storm, oh, for the way we were. Oh,
man, I wish I could more properly capture where I am right now, but I don't know, maybe audio's better. Just leave it to the imagination, even if I had like a video camera on me. You know, there's no point. Cameras can never capture the panorama of real life, you know? Like, just this all around me, it's just so awesome. I've been to some awesome fucking shorelines lately, you know? Man, this one though, see, that thing is I'll probably never be here again. There's some weird shit to get here, and it's like snaking through all these different factories that are all fenced off with guard posts and shit, so you can't drive through without getting past the guy. And then beyond that, like through some woods. But right now, so I'm somewhere between Cherry Beach and whatever the beaches are called, you know, in the beaches district of Toronto. I'm looking over, I think that's the water refinery at the end of the beaches. I could be wrong. I recognize there's this building on the hill that really stands out. Some big building that's just above everything else, kind of by itself. It reminds me of the sanitarium in Gaspé when I went to visit my grandmother. So I'm sitting by the shore, but here it's all these big white rocks, but along with them is all this old, discarded, busted concrete. I'm sitting on some big circle wheel thing, and then there's all these, like, iron posts just all over the place. I don't know what all this shit was from originally, but I don't know, like a building they destroyed or something? There's, like, these iron girders? I don't know what you call them. They're circular. Some of them are kind of coiled and bent. They're all over the place. There's a big, there's a beam, great big beam from something. It's like Planet of the Apes or something. Like, I'm just sitting on the remains of the past, you know? And just the fucking, like, I finally passed the whole Cherry Beach area. That whole walk was still within. There's like this little finger of land that goes out and around to create like a little bay. I'm finally just outside of that, like I've just gotten to the edge of it. So now I can just see like boom, like limitless. The lake so big it might as well be the ocean, it just never ends. And a plane just went by. I've noticed the planes are really low here. This must be on the flight path to the airport. Reminds me of living out in Queens. It is pretty cool. I mean, it's not cool how loud they are, but it's cool how low they are. And just how much detail you can see on an airplane, because they're so fucking huge. Like, once they get close to the ground and fly over top, it's pretty fucking amazing. And the sun is still really bright. I had to put on a shirt, getting a little chilly. You can probably hear the waves. This is just fucking, I could, man. It's weird because I woke up so tired. I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? Like, go sleep on a bench? Like, I don't know, how am I going to make it through the day? And I'm like, dude, I could probably just lay down on this big, because this big thing, it's like 4 feet wide, this concrete circle. I could just like lay on it. probably take a little nap. No one would ever find me here. I'm like so far away from where anybody would ever go. Of course, if I rolled off, I'd probably impale myself on Rebar. Is that what it's called? It's in season 3 of Buffy when Cordelia fucking gets stabbed through the gut. It's on one of those. But yeah, I don't feel tired though. Just being out in the world and the fresh air and the sun and everything. I feel good. Feel alert. It's weird though, I've been really trying this week to try to fix my sleep schedule. I'm like forcing myself to get up in the morning some kind of reasonable hour and then trying to sleep at night, and I just cannot do it. I just cannot fall asleep at night. And then after a couple of days I just started to feel really sick. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like my whole head was just shifted. So it's like my head feels 2 feet outside of my head. And it's just this really awful feeling. That just awful. I hate getting up early. I can't do it. I physically can't. It just fucking destroys me. And I got this really weird headache that's just like unlike any other kind of headache. Just the whole thing is like fucked up. Anyway, this is fucking silly nice. And hopefully I'll listen back to this years from now and I can remember what this was like. The day-to-day of moving to Ontario is starting to get a little weird. Like, really, why am I here exactly, you know? If the shit really hit the fan with my roommate, I just feel like, you know, I'm getting some friends and stuff here. But I feel like it wouldn't be so weird to just jump on a bus and go somewhere else. But things like this are pretty fucking cool. Days like this where I just stumble across weird, cool shit. I really had no idea any of this was down here. I just started wandering and here I am. I keep thinking I'm gonna end this show. I've thought it was over several times, but I don't know, what song should I play to finish the show? I don't know. I'm gonna listen to my MP3 player for a little bit until I come across a song that I want to play. So it turns out I'm not really that far from civilization. I took the longest, weirdest, most twisted through the woods path to get to where I recorded that last little bit. But on the way back out, it's not so bad. It's a street called Leslie Street. Just head south from the Canadian Tire on Lakeshore or Waterfront or whatever the fuck that street's called. So actually, now that I've come back around, I'm back at that fucking Tim Hortons that I was at when I was recording a few days ago. That's so fucking weird. Yeah, there it is, I can see it. Except I came at it from a whole different angle this time. It's awesome too, because I got, well, I'm down to, at this point, I'm using my fucking laundry quarters to buy shit, but I'm getting a little peckish, so I'll just buy myself a nice little, my fucking bagel and a goddamn coffee. Man, such a nice day. I really feel like these ham radios are getting better again. For a little while, they seemed like they were getting a little slow, but just recording from weird spots, going to different places, makes it fun for me. And man, just today I've just been like, just cracking up at shit. I don't know, I was walking down this street, really beautiful street. A little bit of traffic because there's like a factory down this way. Just walked by this one tree that was just so perfect. With all the autumn colors, this big tree with just a few branches cut off to keep it picturesque, you know, and working for us human beings. And it was just kind of all by itself on the horizon, this perfect blue sky. This beautiful tree, leaves turning orange, and again, yeah, it's just like a fucking album cover for some tragically hip single or something. Just like, wow, so fucking, so pretty. So yeah, that's what I'm gonna finish off with, is a tragically hip song. This one is called The Bear. Tragically Hip, the quintessential Canadian band. And maybe that really is it for this episode. Goodbye. Oh, here's a map. All right, where did I go? My house is at, there was the St. Lawrence Theater, so yeah, the St. Lawrence Market, there we go. That's where I started. Where did I go today? How did I do this? I left my house, and I went down to the Gardiner Expressway, walked along the Gardiner, here we go, down Cherry Street. Apparently, Cherry Beach is called the Clark Beach now. So I walked down the Port of Toronto, and then across North Shore Park, past the Westwood Sailing Club, and then specifically where I was does not have a name, but it is just on the outside edge. There's the Toronto Outer Harbor, and I was on the other edge of that, the east edge of that. Oh man, there's a lighthouse down there. I wonder if I can actually go there. You'll have to walk that? I think you are. Yeah, there's a trail. Holy fuck, I should go out there sometime. Man, that looks awesome. How the fuck though? Because there was like a factory. It was all blocked off. I don't understand how that works. Pretty amazing though. So I guess what I was looking at across the bay was not quite the beaches. They are on the other side of this little, one more little extension area. So I'm not nearly as far east as when I went west to Humber Bay. That was way further. Cool, and then I'm going up Leslie to Lakeshore. And then I gotta figure out how to get the fuck back to my neighborhood. Awesome. All right, Tragically Hip with the Bear.
But with my belly full, I intended to get something done.